Though women now represent half the video gaming community, a Pew study this week revealed that gaming is the least welcoming online space for women. That conclusion seems to be borne out by the ongoing troll crusade known as hashtag Gamergate, wherein a small rabble is using a trumped-up scandal as cover for a full-on attack on female game makers and game critics. Until the story materialized in the New York Times last week, one influential gaming publication, called Polygon, did its best not to feed those trolls, but finally weighed in with a letter from the editor, Christopher Grant. Chris, welcome to OTM.
Thank you.
Tell me, from your perspective, what is the gate in Gamergate?
A specific situation where an ex-boyfriend published details about a game developer alleged to have slept with a video game journalist. Part of the gate is an erroneous accusation that she slept with him in exchange for a good review, a review that never happened.
But it's all since mutated, and the scandal is no longer about the particulars of this situation, but about the supposed culture wars that are harming the very nature of gaming and its fans.
In reality, it's a rebalancing. Video gaming, on the heels of its 2011 Supreme Court victory, increasing sales, increasing software and tools that make making games open to more people than ever, as it grows into that. I think a lot of people have a lot of concerns about new voices, voices that are oftentimes critical of what's come before entering the fray. It's an old war, right? It's a battle against progressive voices. What they see as political correctness being inserted into a formerly, quote, safe space, it is a culture war.
The kinds of complaints that we have heard about gaming and its occasional misogyny, its sexist characterization of female characters and so forth, we've heard them about the larger popular culture for decades. But there is not a concerted effort to attack and threaten the critics. Why do you suppose that this subculture of gamers has been so, vicious?
It's acceptable to criticize these tropes in film. In film, the Bechdel test, the test being two women having a conversation that isn't about a man, every year, plenty of movies fail that test. Gaming was underanalyzed, right? It was shunned from academia, undercritiqued. But a lot of the criticism that's also been levied against games has been hyperbolic, let's say a bad faith effort. There's no shortage of examples of the mainstream media vilifying games and getting basic facts wrong. So a lot of the gaming audience looked at that criticism and learned a certain way of responding to it, which is that it's wrong, it's ignorant. And then when criticism from inside happens, criticism about the way that women are presented, one example that's very notable here, they deal with it in a sort of hysterical way, in a reactionary way.
Do we even know who the they is?
We know who some of those people are, right? A lot of them are anonymous. Gamergate will be quick to say, well, that's not who we are. It's this logical fallacy where they can define a movement whose inclusion is exactly 10 characters long. All you need to do to be a member of this movement is type the hashtag Gamergate into Twitter. And so they'll reject any behavior that they don't want. Well, you know, basically condoning it and allowing it and boosting it. So it's this very strange, intentionally chaotic mission where they reject, you know, basic order and structure. So as a journalist, it's really hard to tackle it. And the only benefit I can see of being leaderless, of being amorphous, is that they can basically continue their campaign of harassment with little to no culpability.
Is there any public face of Gamergate? Is there anyone who's willing to attach his, I assume his, name to this whole supposed scandal?
Well, there actually is a notable her, Christina Hoff Summers. She's a scholar in residence at the American Enterprise Institute, which is a pretty right-leaning think tank. She has no interest in video games, but she was interested in maybe getting some new converts to her particular ideology. In a lot of cases, the people that are signal-boosting this topic don't have anything to do with games. People like Adam Baldwin, who uses his platform on Twitter to sort of amplify a lot of this stuff, you know, he's not a gamer. He doesn't have an interest in this culture. It's a political platform. A lot of the Gamergate adherents are really happy to embrace these opportunists. They call Christine Hoff Summers mom. That's their nickname. So it's a very strange, I don't know, almost like hunger for validation. They do not have a lot of public faces. The ones that they do have, they're very attached to.
You also mentioned that this phenomenon is going to take the reputation of gamers back to where it once was before. Maladjusted guys in their mom's basements with, you know, no other life, thanks to the work of these obnoxious vigilantes.
I think it's a very small, almost infinitesimally small percentage of people that play games. They've failed to root out the corruption in games journalism that they insist is there, which after 2 months of a very loud and noisy campaign, they haven't found because it doesn't exist. But what they have done is chase women out of their home. They've made people feel unsafe to speak up. They've made the front page of the New York Times, which even if the author didn't intend it, that sort of mainstream exposure repeats and reinforces a negative stereotype of video gamers that goes back decades. I don't think the stereotypes previously were accurate, and I certainly don't think they're any more accurate now. I think they're, in fact, much less accurate. And it's a stereotype that a lot of people worked really hard to move past. You know, you hear some of the women in the industry speak up about their experiences talking to younger women who are now afraid to join the video game industry because of harassment.
Till now, you've tried to stay out of the fray because you saw no benefit in being in it. But now you are in it. Can I ask you what changed your mind that compelled you to write this letter from the editor? And what do you suppose happens next?
What changed was my willingness to condemn it. And I think as a journalist, I was loath to take this formless, leaderless group and condemn it outright as one that I think is really a front for not only misogyny, but a sort of frustration with progressive voices and progressive ideals. And recognizing that parts of it, the more pernicious parts of it, were getting more brazen, more violent and unchecked, the more negative elements of Gamergate were allowed to, you know, roam the countryside brandishing pitchforks and harassing anyone they could find. And I think the obvious counter to that are reasonable voices. Where it goes from here, I hope, is that they continue to see how fruitless this effort has been. My real hope is that this sort of backlash and this sort of like violent protest will ultimately be remembered as something that was not only hugely ineffective, but that it's also embarrassing, that it's also been a particular low point for our medium and for the culture that surrounds it, and that they have nobody to blame for that but themselves.
Chris, thank you so much.
Bob, thanks so much for having me.
Christopher Grant is editor-in-chief of the online video game publication, Polygon.com.